commandments. The word commandments here is not the typical word for commandments. It's the word his mouth. I have rebelled against his mouth. I have rebelled against his words. I have rebelled against his prophetic utterances. That's what she did. Sound familiar? You know, about 10 years ago, I could have named about 5 or 10 different preachers on the large scale that were solid preachers. They're dying. They're gone. They're not there anymore. On a national level, we have people who will tell you can have your best day today. You'll have people who will tell you that they'll pray over you, your job back. They'll pray over you, your house back, your clients back, your wealth back, your mortgage paid off. They'll pray over you for that. That's prophets being heaped to the ears of our people in this America. Largest church in America. 40,000 people go there every Sunday to hear him say, I'll give it all, I pray it back to you, like he's Jesus. Only one who can pray that back, give that back is Jesus. And he ain't budging, because why? Because in verse 18, he's righteous. The Lord is righteous. He's not going to give you what you've been corrupting you. He's going to give you some affliction so you'll remember the days of old. Sometimes we need a little bump in the road so that we'll humble ourselves and find out that God provides for the sparrows and he can provide for me too. Have you ever really just looked at that and asked yourself, am I willing to lose it all? Am I willing to go down to the bare necessities? Am I willing to just have God be my stay? Because really, it might come to that. So it's better to kind of redo the little bit of accounting ahead of time. I'm willing. God, you gave it, you can take it away. Remember Job? Everything he had, the first book of the Bible. Oldest book in the Bible. Not first in order, but first in chronology. It's the truest, oldest book of the Bible. And it was started out, God was letting it be known, it's not about health and wealth. It's about God. And Job lost everything he had, even his children. And he said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And then his beloved wife came along and said, why don't you just curse God and die, man? Isn't this enough? That was a helper. He said, you speak as one of the foolish women. He said, shall a man receive good of the Lord's hand and not evil? See, affliction is sometimes good for us. And the Bible says the Lord is righteous. And personification of Israel or Judah says, I have rebelled. Look at it again. It says, here I pray you, verse 18, my people, behold my sorrow. My virgins and my young men are gone into captivity. Look down to verse 20. Behold our Lord. For I, O Lord, I am in distress. Again, this is still Judah personified as a nation saying, I am in distress. My bowels are troubled. Mine heart is turned within me. I have grievously rebelled. Is that possible that we have? Who is it talking? It's the most religious person in the room talking. It's Judah. They had the oracles. They had the priesthood. They knew what was right. But it took bottoming out for her to say, God is righteous and I'm wrong and I've sinned. I've rebelled. Now, folks, you can turn that around today. I'm not going to rebel anymore. You can do that in your own heart, in your own home. It may not be a gross rebellion. It just may be a little rebellion, a little bit of me. I just have, you know, rebellion is just saying, I'll do it my way, not God's. I'll do it my way. That's rebellion. It's a basic. Idolatry goes beyond that. Not just I will do my way, but I will look at other things and let them cause me to stumble. That's what I want to do. That's idolatry. Let your eye fall down to chapter 2, in verse 5. The Bible says the Lord was an enemy. He swallowed up Israel. He swallowed up all her palaces. He destroyed his strongholds and have increased in the daughter of Judah mourning and lamentation. Verse 6, and he had taken away violently his tabernacle. Now this is where it turns. He says, not only did the Lord set himself in array, the Bible says God resists the proud but gives grace unto the humble. Rebellion is the byproduct of pride. He gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. Literally, in the New Testament, the word resist the proud means he sets himself in array against them. He actually takes sword and stands against them. And in Jeremiah's words, he says, the Lord has become our enemy. He's the one pulling back the bow. He's the one shooting at us. Now, folks, I'm telling you, I don't want God shooting at me. I really don't. You know, we just got to make up our minds that if he's going to be aiming, he's going to see somebody he wants to miss, because God's got a good shot, okay? He really does. And in this passage, it says he does some things. In verse 6, it says he violently takes away the tabernacle. Verse 7, it says, and the Lord casts off his altar. God says, listen, I'm tired of playing church. I'm tired of playing this game. And folks, when we're celebrating, when we should be somewhat lamenting in our country today, and when the pulpits are filled with good tidings of great joy, which shall be to every American, in spite of the fact that there's this huge white elephant in the room, it's a sad day and a scary day. And the Bible says, men shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, not willing to endure the truth. Look at verse 8 of chapter 2. The Lord hath purposed to destroy the wall of the daughter of Zion. He purposed to do it. Do you think God might purpose to take America down? Well, I'll tell you what I read in my Bible is I read no place in Scripture where America is mentioned. And if we're this close to the coming of the Lord Jesus, America might have to go down. Now, some have postulated that if the rapture occurred, then, you know, that would pretty much hamstring us as a country and make us a non-issue, because they like to believe there's that many Christians in America. Really? I think the government would keep going right on, don't you? It's not going to be having too many offices evacuated up there. But the fact is, America's not mentioned. So if America has to go down, it can go down quick. How does it go down quick? Well, the one was the rapture. Another person said maybe a nuclear hit. Maybe a number of things. Maybe half of California falls into the ocean. Maybe a tsunami down on the south, and maybe a nuclear hit on the east. Wouldn't take much, you know, a couple hits at just the right time. Do you know what God can do? God can time things just right. I always love it when these guys who are preachers, they get on the radio and somebody asks them, do you think God sent judgment on our country because of this? You know, the bottom line answer to that is, I don't know if he did, but he's got a whole lot of reason to. And if you cower when they put the, I don't want to be in the camera because I'm afraid I might mess up. Because I don't want to misrepresent. But I've seen stronger and greater men than I believe myself to be. And I've watched them, their knees buckle when that light goes in their face. And they put that mic in their face. But the Bible is clear. God purposed to do this to Israel, Judah, and they went down. And when he purposes that one nation shall be brought down and another will be raised up, that is going to happen. As sure as he spoke the worlds into existence and hung the stars and the moon and the sun on nothing, he can bring down a little thing called America. So when we thumb our noses in his presence, we need to remember the Lord is righteous in verse 18. And in verse 8 of chapter 2, the Lord has purposed. Let your eye fall down to verse 17. The Lord hath done that which he hath devised. Now that's huge. What did he devise? Look at verse 22. Thou hast called as in a solemn day my terrors round about, so that in the day of the Lord's anger, none escape nor remain. What did he do? He called for terrors. What do terrors look like in America? You know, we see a lot of terrible things, don't we? I mean, with news media, man, we can go immediately to a bombing in the Middle East, or we can go down there and, I don't remember what city that was, a country where that hotel was blown up not long ago, and we got pictures right now, you know. If you got the internet, you can get uncensored pictures of the mayhem and the terrible play-by-play. But we have our media and our movies, you know, and they can do things remarkable. Back in the day, it used to be that when a terrible thing would happen. You remember this day back in the day when the stagecoach has got broke loose and is running down the middle of the street, and you look and you see a little child picking up her doll, and she looks up, and the camera goes to the stagecoach, and then it goes back to the girl and to the mother, and to the stagecoach and to the girl, and then to the mother, and all you see is the mother going, oh, and you are left your no imagination anymore. Now you see. What would terrorize us? Not having electricity? What would terrorize us? probably seeing somebody we care about get hurt by violence. That would probably shake our tree. We're pretty manly when we're talking about it on the sideline, but when somebody messes with your family in real time, and you're standing there, you really don't know what you would do. You don't know what's inside of you. But I'll tell you one thing that happened to Judah. When they saw it, their hearts fainted. They began to realize that the steamroller was coming through. God had appointed it and purposed it. Now in chapter 3, Jeremiah picks up the pen and he says, I feel like God's against me. God's coming after me like a bear. He's put me up on a tree and he's using me as a target for his arrows. I just feel like it's completely out of control. Now this is the weeping prophet standing in the ruins of Judah. But I want you to see, not only does the question get posed, the answer get given, but the solution is sure. Aren't you glad we have a solution? I don't want to leave you in lamentations lamenting. I want you to know something. On a personal level and on a visceral level, let your eye fall down to verse 20 of chapter 3, verse 21. It says, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. You might underline that verse because this, you might need this someday. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Folks, things have changed so much in the past 30 years since my eyes have been in my head as a believer and I've seen the world through spirit eyes. Things have changed so dramatically. What do 30 more years hold? Could it be so bad as what we've seen Judah go through? Could. Potentially. We're not in the hub of anything. Maybe if a nuclear weapon hit us, we might get some fallout. Might knock our power out. But we would see the images on our TVs and we might find some terror. We might, well, how are they going to fix that? It's always they. Who is they anyway, you know? They'll fix it. They'll get it running. Who are they? Well, maybe they got dead like those people in the towers went down. Those were some big shakers and movers on Wall Street in the trade towers, you know. So we lost some pretty significant players in our economy. But what about if the nuclear weapon hit? Well, you might need this verse. This I recall. What does he recall? First thing he recalls is the Lord's mercies. Look at verse 22. Bible says this: it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. You know what God wants? He wants a witness. You can be one now, or you can be one when He twists your arm to be later. You know, don't wait till tragedy comes to make it remind you, you know, of the good days and why America was good and great. America was good and great because America was good. It was the greatest place. Everybody wants to come here. People aren't lining up to go to other countries. They're lining up to come here. Because we're the greatest country, but we want to be like everybody. This is ridiculous. This, I recall, is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. What else did he remember? Well, let your eye fall down to verse 24. The Lord is my portion. That's huge. Do you feel like the Lord is your portion? If you have a personal relationship with God, there is no one who can take your song. You can give it up, but nobody can take it. That's yours. I'll tell you something, folks. You need to get a hymnal and don't take one from the back of the chair. Go to a thrift store. But get a hymnal, all right? And get it and get to know God through song. Find out how to make Him your portion, how to puppy dog and worship Him. Stop letting everybody do your worshiping for you. Because when the electricity goes out, you won't be able to let them do it anymore. Practice a little of your own. Find a song. Sing in the shower. Don't sing too loud because everybody else will hear you. But sing! The Lord is my portion. Jeremiah said, man, this is wicked. This is terrible. But you know what he did? He came down to it and he says, you know, really, bottom line is, I got God. I got the Lord of the earth. I've got God and I know why He's doing what He's doing. His mercies have not allowed us to be consumed. The Bible says in verse 24, the Lord is my portion. Look at verse 25. The Lord is good. Can you recall that the Lord is good in the midst of tragedy and when life is falling apart? Job did. He got to the point where his friends started telling him, you must have done something wrong, man. You wouldn't be in this case if you hadn't done something wrong. He says, listen, though He slay me, I will trust in Him. I don't know which way's up, but I know God is good. I know God is my portion. I know I've sought to honor God. And if He even slays me, I'm going to trust in Him. And that's what God wants you and me to do. He wants us to get down to the bare necessities. Verse 31 is good. Simple but powerful verse. For the Lord will not cast off forever. Aren't you so glad? Aren't you so glad? I mean, even if you saw the whole apple cart fall over and everything be destroyed by running over with wheels and all the apples crushed, He won't cast off forever. You know, there is a mercy with God. There is a goodness with God. And what is the goodness with God? The Lord is good to them that wait on Him, it says there in verse 25. And that seek Him. Wait on Him and seek Him. He will not cast off forever, verse 31. Verse 33, the Lord does not afflict willingly. Now, folks, part of our history in this country is that we knew God was in heaven, man was on earth. We knew that we were endowed by our Creator. We understood that God moved in the affairs of men, and even Ben Franklin, an agnostic, said, I see it. We need to open our Congress in prayer. Now, folks, you ought to have it in your home. You ought to be praying in your home with your family. Show them how it's done. Folks, try to figure out a way to sing in front of your kids songs of Zion. Show them that you have a relationship with God that is yours. May they think, well, my dad loves Jesus. My dad loves God. And if they don't follow in your footsteps closely, they will follow at a distance and they will see and they will consider and they will see it and want it because they want to be like you, Dad. Beloved, we need to be a people who understand that God does not cast off forever. And even if everything turns upside down and on its ear, God is good. And if everything is stripped away from you today, that song by Proud to Be American, that guy used to sing, it was such a beautiful song, rallied our spirits. I'm proud to be a Christian. Where at least I know I'm free. You know, we might not have American that I know I'm free anymore. But in Christ, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. You want freedom? Freedom is the right to do what's right. And Jesus paid the ultimate price. He paid for your sins so you'll never be in debt again. So you can get up every new day, for His mercies are new every morning, it says in verse 21. And you can get up and take on the day with a disposition of freedom, liberty, to do right. And even though the devil screams in your ear, you're worthless and you're no good and you're a sinner, you can say, but I'm saved by grace, and pick up the right song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved us. Soul like me. You know, that's what He does. And you're set at liberty when you trust Jesus. Your sins are forgiven. God is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Doesn't mean that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego won't be carried off to Babylon with the rest of the nation. Doesn't mean Daniel won't end up in a lion's den and the three Hebrew children won't end up in a fiery furnace for their testimony. But prevail. Because God episodically will prevail for you if you're His child. Because God has His eyes running throughout the whole earth seeking whom He may support. He's looking for those whose hearts are completely His that He might strongly support them. Why? Because God is all about salvation, folks. That's what we're here for. America knew it at the beginning. David Brainerd went out into the woods, and there's a Brainerd place over here in Pennsylvania where I used to live. He went into the woods and died at age 30. Witnessing to the Indians. Folks, this country, it's an awesome place. There's been none like it ever before. But it's only what it is because we understood God ruled in the affairs of men. I'll close with this. Did you know that Abraham Lincoln, upon reflecting on the Civil War, believed in his core that the blood that was shed in the Civil War was a God reckoning of blood guiltiness over the slavery issue. He believed there was so much blood shed of slaves being beaten, mistreated, kidnapped, and brought here in a market that made them less than human in the eyes of the law, that God allowed brother to fight against brother, and we had more people die in the Civil War than in all the wars. Americans die in the Civil War than in all the wars ever fought up to this day. Why? Because of blood guiltiness, Abraham Lincoln believed. And if you go to the monument down there, if you ever want to step foot in that town again, go over and read the wall, because it takes his words, and he says, God has brought this reckoning upon us. Now, folks, 1.5 million babies a year. And I just want you to know that that is a symptom of a worse problem. Our morality is gone. We don't protect our most innocent. We're not protecting Israel. Beloved, you and I have to, at least for our homes, say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.